CIUT 89.5 FM Fall Membership Drive is happening November 9th to November 15th. For more information and to become a member, visit www.ciut.fm. CIUT 89.5 FM, the sound of your city.
Right here, right now. Every day, CIUT 89.5, the sound of your city. Toronto.
Dance on CIUT 89.5 FM has just happened, and with me is Malgorzata Navaska. And in case you're wondering what that is all about, well, Ariel counts down before we come on, so...
Yeah, it's very dramatic.
It's very dramatic.
It's actually too bad that it's not live. We should have it live on
video. Yeah, we should
time.
Have him live on video doing this.
Yes,
I think
it'd
be
video.
Just great. Coming up, Kristen Carcone, co-artistic executive director with David Nosworthy of Toast for Dance, and Akua Mensah, sister of choreographer Ezzy Mensah, and Percy Dwumfer, I hope I got that right, about their show coming up at the Belly Elephant. But first off, Christopher House and dancer Jarrett Siddell, and they're here to talk about Echo, which takes place November 3rd to 7th at 8 p.m. at the Fleck Dance Theater. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And for those who don't know, Christopher, just explain a bit that you are, in fact, the artistic director of TDT, founded it, and I guess start maybe how many years now?
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't found
it? No, I've been the artistic director.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, since 1994. It was founded
in
1968.
Well, that's quite a way back.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I can't remember who's the...
The founders were Peter Randazzo, Patricia Beatty, and David Earle.
Okay.
That's corrected now.
That's correct, yes. Well, it seems like Christopher has been there for so long for me anyway.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine.
It's hard to imagine
yeah.
now with...
You're eternal, officially. Well, actually, on the topic of eternal, the next work that you're presenting is Echo, which yeah. is grounded in a previous incarnation of another work.
Yeah, it's true. In 2005, I made a piece called Echo's Object, which had 12 dancers. And 10 years later, I've come back to it, and we've taken about, I would estimate, 20% of the original production and have remade it into a full-length piece. Val Kalem, who is one of the original dancers, who hasn't danced with us for 8 years, maybe has come back to be in it as well. And we have the same lighting designer, Steve Lucas. Jeremy Lang is reworking his costumes. He's a fabulous fashion designer. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so it's looking forwards and backwards at the same time. It's really fun.
So from your perspective, what aspects are looking forwards and... How is the looking backwards? Because that is so interesting, right? The perspective of time and how your everything shifts.
Yeah. I mean, in an interesting way, I'm following a lot of the same processes in composition that I've been working on in the last few pieces. But by going back into this, which is a world of very theatrical imagery, it's very kind of gothic.
Yeah.
And some medieval images and some very strange, almost like... occult imagery. So I'm taking these ideas with these amazing dancers, including Jarrett, and I'm playing with these concepts in some ways in a really formal way, but also in a very intuitive way. So I'm excited.
How do you play with concepts in a formal way?
I get these guys in the room, and they get started, and they come up with all kinds of amazing ideas, and then that gives me ideas, which I then follow through on.
So this is a loose remix.
It's not so much a remix as a... I don't know. How would you describe it, Jarrett?
That's how you described it, didn't you?
It's kind of like an expansion
of
two particular sections from the old work, and we learned those sections precisely and exactly, and then Christopher, just as we did them, just kept adding and changing and manipulating as we were doing it, and sections that were maybe 10 minutes each or a little less are now about 25 minutes each.
And memory plays a really big part in that. And I think in a way, in terms of the composition, that's what we're playing with. A lot of something will happen in a certain way, and then it will begin to repeat, but then it'll go off in a very weird direction. And that's, for me, the game for the spectator is for all of us to be involved in creating this atmosphere where people can never quite figure out what's going on, but they stay really interested and hoping that eventually they will, right, until the end.
And
it's very suspenseful, I think.
Does it happen? Does it come together and fuse itself at the end? Because sometimes it is interesting to leave that sense of bafflement.
I think it asks a lot of questions in a way within the piece, but it's not arbitrary at all. There's a dramatic logic that goes through, and a lot of it is in the dancer's performance, the way they inhabit it.
And how does it feel to be a dancer in this work versus other works?
Well, there definitely is, as Christopher said before, there definitely is similarities in what Christopher's been working on in the last few pieces, which some of which I've been a part of, and I can feel that through line in his work. But this one is kind of neat because it does get very theatrical, and there are some really interesting images, and it gets a little dark, but it's light, and it's fun. It's fun to do. It's also very physical. Which I always really enjoy. So, it's a really fun piece to perform, actually.
There's one of the ways that it goes backward, even more than the original production, is in some ways it uses a very old modern dance vocabulary. Like, I'm thinking of films of the Martha Graham Company in the 1930s, or crazy German expressionist, or the Art Deco, those very architectural poses, and getting inside that world and stirring it up and seeing what's really exciting and in some ways very contemporary about the way that reads now to our eyes.
And what drew you to that?
It's so cool. It's such super interesting movement. The dancers wear these huge, almost like they're military tents that Jeremy Lang has made into these massive skirts.
Yeah. And they have a lot of weight to them.
Yeah.
Which, and the weight like affects the movement, and it affects the way you see the movement, and it's really interesting. It's a perfect example of how a costume can make a piece in a way.
Yeah. And in one section they're wearing very heavy army boots, which Jarrett can tell you about.
Yeah, they're fun. Again, it's added weights and the shoes, and it all, as I say, affects the movement and really makes the piece kind of what it is.
And they fly around in these. They look like there's this one section we call the Dementors from the Harry Potter movie, where those crazy creatures are flying through the air. Those evil. I'm not a total Harry Potter fan, but I love the image. And that's what these guys look like in this. There's a lot of occult imagery, you know, in almost a playful way, but it actually gets a bit spooky sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
A typical, a good Halloween
present. Yes, exactly. I didn't think of that. But you're right. Yeah, for your post-Halloween come down echo at the Black Dance Theater.
You are listening to Evidence on CIUT. We were talking to Christopher House and dancer Jarrett Sedell about their production of Echo taking place November 3rd to 7th. We have one pair of tickets to give away for Thursday, November the 5th and 8 p.m. And the number to call is 416-946-7000. 416-946-7000.
Great. So in terms of the occult imagery you were just talking about, what specifically do you mean?
Ah, good. All right. There is, I think there's a particular fascination with occult imagery that we see in some early 20th century art. And this is around, it was very much a fashion, I think, around Aleister Crowley, and I think of these crazy mediums like Madame Blavatsky and all the things they did. And a lot of artists were really interested in that. And there's a beautiful architectural design within it, but I think also this fascination with this, I mean, I think of that television show, Penny Dreadful. Have you ever seen it?
Not yet.
Oh, it's going to. It's very gothic, and it takes place in exactly the time of when Dracula and Frankenstein and these characters became super popular. And part of this is this sublimated sexuality that's in it. And I think the piece is kind of sexy. There's a very there's a very kind of dark, queerish sexual thread that threads through the second part of the piece, and the first part has a very innocent, I mean, it's, they carry flowers for most of it. So it's those, it's a very simple two-sided look at that impulse.
I think there's definitely a lot of undertones in the piece, like kind of what Christopher's talking about. And I think it's, I was thinking about this the other day, actually. I think there's a lot there in the imagery for people to read into in their own way. I think everyone's going to have a slightly different experience, I think, in what they see when they watch the piece.
And where is Echo in this, and what is she doing?
Yeah, good question. Yeah. I use the title this time. I mean, the original Echo's object was Narcissus, and the piece was kind of about narcissism, and I was inspired by some literary sources. Coming back to it, I was really just looking, this was Jordan Tannehill's idea to just call it Echo, so it was an echo of the original piece, but the way that an echo gradually reforms itself, and that's what's happening choreographically.
So Echo's dead.
Echo's dead. Philip Strong, can you talk a bit about his collaboration with you?
Phil did the original soundtrack, and which included a beautiful piece by Richie Houghton, who's this techno meister who goes by the name of Plastic Man as well. He's a Canadian superstar. So we're using one piece of Richie Houghton's, which is called Contain, which is brilliant. And then Tom Gill, who I've worked with on my last couple of projects, including Martingales, is remixing some of Phil's music and making new material.
So as you're doing all this, I can see that it is an exciting process. But have you had any interesting revelations that presented themselves to you?
I mean, I think there's an interesting revelation every time you go into the studio, right? I mean, that's what's so wonderful about being able to work every day. I mean, sure, you agree that when you're working on something, you're learning all of the time. And for me, I think the initial revelation that was so inspiring was the appetite that Jarrett and the other dancers brought from the very beginning, and how proactive they became in the collaboration. For me, so many of the most exciting moments right now have really been shaped by suggestions that they have brought, and sometimes even unconsciously, because they're in it. Don't you think? Like, you're doing it. So often you know what the next thing is better than I do. I've just set up the circumstances.
And in the way that you structured the piece as well, it's very, even within it, you know, every time, you know, we know there's a pause, but there's so much room for me to feel out in this moment how much space is actually needed compared to the energy that just happened. And we make, and Christopher asks us to and allows us to make those type of decisions every day, and sometimes you know, we pause for even longer, and then it makes Christopher see something a little bit differently, and then he shifts it the next time we run it. And so each day we're making shifts like that, and mistakes get put in the piece too, because sometimes you do something that was from a previous section, because some things are similar. But it ends up being that's the perfect counterpoint for you to do that while everybody's doing something else. And there's definitely three or four that have made it in the piece, and they're beautiful.
And what is it like to have Val Kalam come back? Because she has all this new texture in her.
Yeah.
8 years later.
Yeah. And Val's an awesome artist. She always has been. She, you know, I loved working with her through the many years she worked with TDT, and it's really a pleasure to have her back in the room. And I mean, also the company has changed a lot since the time she's been there, and watching Val working, it helps me see how those changes have happened. And then as I watch her, how intuitive she is and how intelligent she is in her, I mean, she's not just fabulous, she works so intelligently, and she works very with huge focus all the time. Then I learned from watching how she's adapting around. Yeah, she's a real inspiration.
Is it possible to define the changes that you see from the company 8 years ago to now? Because I know what you mean. There is a difference, but it's so hard to articulate.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think probably the easiest way to kind of step around that question is to say the changes are a result of everything we've done since that time, and the new people that have come in and what they've brought into the studio and the things that we've learned together, and the way that, because I mean, when you're an artist, you're not, or certainly my way of looking at the world, you're not at this fixed thing. Otherwise, there's no point of doing any more work. If you've already got it figured out, then you're just a production line. So you're always in a process of exploring, and the exploration happens with the team of people that you're working with, the people that are in the room that you're falling in love with, and you're being inspired to continue to build something with.
Well, I'm so sad, but we're out of time, unfortunately. I have many more questions I could ask.
And Dario? We still have tickets? Okay, we still have the one pair of tickets to give away for the TDT production of Echo, which takes place at the Fleck Dance Theater at Harborfront Center. These tickets are for Thursday, November the 5th, 8 p.m., That's Thursday, November the 5th, 8 p.m. The number to call is
416-947-7000. That's
946-7000. Yes. And I'd like to thank you both for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
And we should mention the website is tdt.org/echo for more information.
That's right.
You are listening to Evidence on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Welcome back to Evidence.
I'm Ted Fox.
And I'm Małgorzata Nowacka here on CIUT 89.5 FM.
And Kristin Carcone, Autistic Executive Director, founder with David Nosworthy of Toes for Dance. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's go back. When did Toes for Dance, when was it founded, and what were you planning to do with
it? Yeah, so Toes for Dance, this is our fourth year now with Toes for Dance, and David and I have grown up in Toronto and Mississauga training and dancing here, and then we went to school abroad. And so part of our idea for this initiative was coming back to and joining and celebrating this amazing Toronto dance community and trying to find a way of building the audiences. So not just dance audiences, but how can we get non-dancers to come in and watch dance and appreciate it and see all of the fantastic art that is being created in Toronto. So that's the initiative for Toes for Dance, is all about creating platforms for exchange. We always talk about how can we educate new audiences, how can we create platforms for creators and dancers to collaborate together. So it's all about exchange. That's what Toes for Dance represents and why we started that initiative, is to celebrate the community, the dance community, and how can we welcome more people into this world.
And how did you, where did you train abroad, both of you?
I went to New World School of the Arts in Miami, Florida. And so we both started, David and I, at Cawthor Park Secondary School in Mississauga. So we are from here. That's where we started our training. Then I went abroad to New World School of the Arts in Miami, and David went to the Juilliard School in New York.
Great.
Now, what I find about Toes of Dance, number one, is it's exquisitely exciting, and you seem to program the choreographers eclectically, different dance styles, but have this very vision. I guess the main thing is I see these choreographers you have as having personal visions. They don't seem like other dance you've seen. There's always something unique about each performance.
Well, thanks for that. It means a lot. It is something that David and I are constantly on the lookout when we are hiring artists for this and curating the program. It's a very time-consuming process. It's over the years we develop these relationships and curiosities, so we're always looking. We're trying to create a program that has something for everyone. So we don't expect people to come and enjoy every single piece on the program, but rather trying to showcase the variety of contemporary dance and all of its possibilities. So you will find something that might be really abstract, and then another piece that's a clear narrative. You might have something that's maybe a little more serious or heavier in tone, and then something that's quite humorous and light and fun. So we're always trying to program with versatility in mind, and creating this like smorgasbord or a buffet of contemporary dance is kind of how David and I often describe it. But it's important to us that contemporary dance is seen for all of its facets, and we really do enjoy working with artists that have a clear, bold vision, and we want to support them in that. And so the choreographers and the dancers are, that is an exchange in itself. So there is an exchange amongst the performers and the choreographers and the audience, but also within it. We have artists, half of them are from abroad and half of them are Canadian. That goes for the performers and the choreographers. And I think that exchange is something really beautiful as well. And what maybe makes it that dynamic energy you were talking about is in that exchange. You're always, as a performer in it, you have to be versatile and take on a lot of that information that you're getting from these different choreographers and artists.
Talk a bit now about the exchange and who's coming this year through the exchange.
Well, we are excited. This year we have 13 choreographers and 12 performers. So choreographers include Peggy Baker, Heidi Strauss, Rosie Herrera from Miami, Leonie Garcia from Miami, Fernando Mello, Riley Sims, Marie Lambin, Jason Parsons. So it's quite an eclectic mix. We have Gadfly coming back again this year. So there's some choreographers that you had seen if you had come to the show last year, but then a bunch of new artists as well. So it's a brand new program. There's nothing that you saw in last year's. It's a whole new mixed program of those choreographers. Dancers, we have some repeat offenders that are back dancing with us again, and then some new artists as well. So this year we have Justin DeLuna, Callahan Connor. He's a slam poet, and he's with us this year. So we have a slam poet. He's a spoken word artist that is exceptional. I'm excited to have some dance audiences seeing Callahan Connor. We have Mia Delena, Sarah Frigeau, Malik Washington, Anna Lukacu. We have, who else? Scott McCabe, Leah Ved, Rebecca Dieb, Thomas House. So it's quite this all-star roster that we have for choreographers and dancers. We're really excited.
So what is the format of this? Do the choreographers come and work in Toronto with the mixed cast, or do they bring the international dancers with them? How does that work?
Yeah, so the way we try to format TOES is we have these two predominant weeks of exchange. And so the first week we had was in New York City. And so we bring all the Canadian artists to New York and we learn rep from those American choreographers at a residency we have in New York City. So Canadian dancers go to New York to learn the rep of the American choreographers. And then starting tomorrow, all of the American artists are going to come to Canada, and then we're going to learn all of the rep from the Canadian choreographers.
And how long do they have to learn this?
It's a little bit outrageous, but each piece on the program gets between 7 to 10 hours of rehearsal only. So it's a very quick turnaround. You guys are looking at me. It's a very quick turnaround, which is part of why we're really grateful to have these superstar professional dancers that can really pick up material quickly. And we ask that none of the choreographers create new work because of that short time. So Toes for Dance doesn't have the platform to create new material, but rather how can we give life to a beautiful rep that should be seen again and again and again. So we are usually taking extracts of pre-existing work.
And do you send videos in advance so they can have, the dancers can familiarize themselves prior to being shocked by 12 works in a span of 10 hours?
Oftentimes it depends on the choreographer's process. So there might be some pre-communication between the dancers and the choreographer, and other times it's, hi, nice to meet you, let's start dancing. So it depends on the choreographer and what they are interested in, that kind of creative process. A lot of our choreographers this year have actually taken the dancers and allowed their work to be adapted to who's in the room, which I think is really exciting. So you might have seen a piece of rep before, but then some of the way it was put together is now readapted to the TOES dancers. So there's a lot of moments or aspects of these pieces that have been reinvented to include the voices of the dancers in the room.
And in terms of the casting, how does that take place? Because obviously both the choreographers, do they choose, or how is it decided?
The choreographers have been really generous, and in the sense that they trust David and I in our choices. So we usually make suggestions. So this is the cast of dancers we have. this is the rep we have. And so David and I will usually send out the first drafting of, this is who we think would suit your work. And we'll send some videos. And the final say, or sometimes if they have a specific person they really do want to work with, we can cater to that. But oftentimes the choreographers don't know the dancers, so they take mine or David's word on it a little bit.
Because sometimes what happens is there's, you know, the dancer favorite, and that dancer does every single solo and half the pieces. So is that something that is happening, or is it not happening? I'm just wondering.
Yeah, with Toes, actually, every dancer in the program is in 5 works. So all of us are in the same number of pieces on the program. So it is actually a pretty even balance. And we do have a lot to consider when we are casting. And it's so we'll talk to the choreographers and say they want to share with Toes for Dance a solo, or they want 6 dancers. Or so it's coming this balance between what the choreographers need and what we can provide.
You are listening to CIUT 89.5 FM. We are Evidence. And you are listening to Kristen Carcone, Executive Director with David Nosworthy of Toes for Dance. We have 1 pair of tickets to give away for Sunday, November 15th, 2 p.m. And the number to call is 416-946-7000. That's 416-946-7000. And it's not only Toronto you're doing Markham and Mississauga. So you've been doing that for a while. Is this the first time?
Yeah, so this is the 3rd year now that we've been taking this mixed program on tour. So we do a showing in New York City after that first residency week. We'll do an in-studio informal showing of what mm-hmm. we've had worked on up until that point. And then the fully produced version of this mixed program will start in Markham, Flatow Markham Theatre, on November 6th. Then November 11th, we'll be performing at Living Arts Centre in Mississauga, and then at the Betty Oliphant Theatre in Toronto on November 14th and 15th.
Doesn't a lot of the choreography depend on the space? So how long do you have prior to the show to be able to get used to the space that you're going to perform in?
The tech times are also varies depending on the venue. So, for example, with Flatow Markham Theatre, we actually have a student matinee that day. So the tech takes place in the morning, student matinee in the afternoon, final performance in the evening. So it's a few hours in the space with Flatow Markham Theatre, whereas Betty O, we have a few more hours. We have 2 evenings to tech before the 3 shows. So, yeah, it's definitely some quick turnarounds with Toes for Dance.
That's why you call it entrances and exits.
Exactly. Constantly in and out, real quick. Actually, just speaking on that, the entrances and exits, like, the show is, we've titled it Entrances and Exits because it is an evening of short contemporary dances. So mm-hmm. It's not something you come and watch one idea from beginning to end, but rather multiple pieces, and you're going to go on an emotional journey. Some mm-hmm. things are really light, really heavy. It's constantly changing, and the duration also changes. So we're entering and exiting yeah. the space many times. 2 minutes is some of the work, very short, and then something a little longer, up to 10 minutes, but nothing exceeds the 10-minute mark. So mm-hmm. entrances and exits, lots of on and off.
That's why you call it a mixed program now. You added that onto it, I noticed.
Yeah, that was part of something that we've adapted this year, calling it a mixed program, just to frame the production a little more and giving viewers a chance to understand what they're going to come into, because it is quite different than a full evening length work. And so the mixed program, we think that language helps identify the versatility and diversity of the program.
Great. And you also have a summer intensive in Toronto. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So we have a summer program called Ignite that we have created along with CCDT. The program is all about the creative process. And it starts out the day we would begin. We have 2 programs. So one's for emerging artists and one's for professional artists. Each programs are about 6 days in length. And the day would start off with a warm-up or technique class, dive right into a creative process class where dancers can learn the tools needed to be not only a choreographer, but a dancer in a choreographer's process. So things like performance tools and improv tools and compositional tools is what we focus on in that creative process class. And then it goes into a rehearsal where you have 3 hours with a different toes artist to create a new work. The younger generation, the emerging artists, they have also these research labs to expose them to more artists in their week, where the professional artists have an emerging choreographer rehearsal. So they get to work with a toes artist and then an emerging artist. So in the end, they have been part of two different creative processes.
That's great. And how would people sign up for this or audition? To sign up to audition is what I meant.
Yeah. On our website, so toesfordance.ca, all the information on how to audition for these programs will be there. We usually have two auditions, so one probably around April and then one later in maybe June, or we usually do June or July for that audition, and the program is going to be at the end of July, beginning of August is the dates that we're working towards right now.
Great.
So that's Ignite, and it's for emerging artists as well as professional artists.
Yeah, and that's a great program. I know that people really love it and respond well to it.
Oh, thank you. We enjoy it so much. It's definitely a platform where everyone comes in on equal ground, and it's all of the choreographers and teachers are learning just as much as the dancers provide. So there's truly an exchange, and we talk about how can we stay curious? How can we stay curious for new information? How can we inspire and be inspired? Mm-hmm. And it's definitely a safe, supportive place.
Exactly. Okay, and it's at the Betty Oliphant Theater.
Yeah, the Toronto shows are going to be at the Betty Oliphant Theater this year. And we're trying out a couple other new things this year. And so if viewers are interested in coming towards and getting involved in a workshop, we're going to do a non-dancer workshop following the Betty O shows the weekend after. So there'll be a non-dancer workshop this year, which we're really excited about. We also have an improv jam, and these improv jams we do every other month, and it's for anyone, all artists, and we welcome these sort of community collaborations. It's truly a magical, magical evening, these improv jams, and you'll see a break dancer jamming with a guitarist, and then a singer will come in, and then there's a visual artist painting or photographers, and at the end of this like 2 hour period, they'll go up and shake hands and be like, really nice to meet you. So it's a pretty beautiful exchange, so hopefully some more people can come out to those improv jams.
Okay, thank you very much, Kristen Carcone, for coming on and talking about For Toes for Dance. We have one pair of tickets that's still available for Sunday, November 15th at 2 p.m. That's Sunday, November 15th at 2 p.m. You are listening to Evidence here on CIUT 89.5.
And to call for the tickets, you can dial 416-946-7000 for the ticket giveaway. Is that what we're talking about? Yes. So you can call that number.
I mean, I forgot to say that.
Yes, you did.
I thought I did. It was in my head.
Anyway,
you guys learn how to read my
thanks
mind.
Thanks for listening to CIUT on Evidence. Hello and welcome back to CIUT 89.5 FM here on Evidence. I'm Małgorzata Nowacka with Ted Fox, and I'd like to welcome to the studio Akua Mensa and Percy Anand Wamfor, who will be talking about ACOMA, which is taking place October 30th at 8 p.m. and November 1st at 2 p.m. at the National Ballet School's Betty Alphen Theatre. And it showcases the journey of one man's voyage from Ghana to Canada. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Now, Akua, you're the sister of Ezzy Mensa,
who is
the choreographer. Can you first start with giving me a background of Ezzy?
Oh, my goodness. Ezzy started...
And it's a big one.
It is a big background. So she actually got started in dance. We grew up in a Ghanaian community, and we danced from a very young age growing up. So she studied traditional African and danced until she was about 20 years old in that area, from about 6 or 7 to 20 when she went to George Brown, and studied contemporary dance there for a year or two, and then started in her dance career. And so she did commercial dance, and she did private, and developed her own genre through Afrofusion over the last 3 years. And so she's traveled quite a bit and done a number of movies and commercials, but she really thought that it was important for her to create her own lane, create her own niche in the Toronto market, and the Afrofusion has allowed for her to do that. So she's an incredible dancer, exceptional, very well respected in the industry, a lot of street cred worldwide, and now we're excited as ACOMA is her first major African musical production piece.
And this piece is based on a journey she took herself to Ghana.
Yes.
And Percy, did you also do the same thing at one point?
Well, I took a journey to Ghana as well. That was about 3 years ago, which was interesting for me because I was born in Canada. And going back was like a culture change. Like, I seen, like, my parents' home, mm-hmm. how they grew up, and I realized how privileged I was living in Canada.
It's interesting how we're saying taking a journey instead of visiting mm-hmm. or traveling to.
Well, it's a journey of discovery, right?
It is, yeah. Definitely, especially for the Africans in the diaspora. You know, we identify with Africa in many different ways, whether it's through art and culture or music or through the values that our parents raised us, those of us that are born here. But it's a completely different mentality when you're back home. And so that voyage or that journey is kind of that other self-discovery that we're trying to experience as children from the diaspora. And it really, AC's journey this year allowed for her, as a 16-year gap from when she was there previously as a young child, but as an adult, it allowed her to really appreciate everyday life in Ghana.
So in this particular production, what is the core element that is the focus of the piece?
So the core element is really the immigrant's journey, and it's also a story of self-discovery and determination, success, universal love, and just that entire courage that a lot of people, and specifically immigrants, have to go through when they come to a new world. And so, you know, the character that Percy plays, he's gets accepted to university and has to go through that whole process of leaving his family and then wanting to also discover his own life and create his own identity. And then that struggle to go back and create opportunities for those who you left behind. And so that really is the core message of the show.
How would you describe Essie's choreographer via the work? How does she approach?
I'll let Percy answer that question.
Okay,
from
Percy,
the dancers,
how does she,
from the dancer's
how does she evoke this through your, I guess, the choreographic process?
I mean, I can't say enough about AC, to be honest. AC has her own different style of choreography. Like, she's Afrofusion, and she'll add contemporary styles. She'll add hip-hop styles to it, and it's just, it's crazy to look at her and look at myself and see myself working with her. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of dancers respect AC for who she is and what she's done. So for a young dancer like Percy to grow up and kind of be able to dance and work with AC, it's great. She's really created. She's really raised the standard, I think, of dance in the industry.
Can you talk about how many dancers and performers are in the show and who the lighting designer and costume, all the other production elements?
Sure, absolutely. So we've got a full cast of
13 dancers.
13 dancers, yeah. Nine main cast and four support. The lighting and sound design is done by Sharon DeGenova, mm-hmm. who's a longtime participant in the arts community, incredible experience and supporter of AC. The wardrobe is done by Aurielle Gilles, who has been working with her fiance or her husband is also involved in the dance perspective with AC with the Black Stars. Both of them are from France and, you know, very big advocates of the industry and just an incredible costume designer. The music production is by Kobona Akwa Harrison, a legendary African musician from Canada, as well as DJ Nana. So it's all sort of, you know, this family type of environment that we've created with the show.
And you're saying that it's a musical production, so does it follow the aesthetic or, I guess, rules, I'm tempted to say, of musical theater? And if not, then how is it different?
Oh, good question. I would say I'm not versed too much with those rules of what constitutes a musical production, but it does involve dialogue, it involves dance, and it involves original music score. So I'm not sure if that falls into the criteria of a musical production. Ted, can you help me out here?
Yes, it does, I think. I mean, there's choreographers on Motown and others, and they have to choreograph the singers and the placement on stage, right?
Yes.
Mel, I think it's more like, it's called movement choreography. Maybe that would be the word?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Movement choreography within a musical?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And Percy, when you're dancing, the movement that you're doing, do you go within yourself to find your own experiences of being in Ghana and hers and sort of amalgamate this in your body language?
Yeah, it does. It speaks to my body, like, really well. I've always, like, loved dancing. I've trained in hip-hop, contemporary, other styles. But African speaks most to me. I guess it has to do with where I... like my ancestors and like where they were born. I feel like whenever I dance African, like my heart is full all the time. And AC stuff just, it completes whatever it is that I'm searching for whenever I dance.
I was just thinking about the relationship between, I don't know that much about, to be honest, about dance in Ghana, but I know there is a relationship between the drumming and the dance, and there's like a lead follow hierarchy, and there's a hierarchy within each instrument and what it's telling the dancer to do. Is
yes,
that correct?
Definitely.
So is that translated into this work with how you're working with your movement in the music? Because it's such a huge component of the art form.
Yes, I would say in one piece, we have one piece in the show that's being choreographed by Lua Cheyenne. Lua Cheyenne was trained in Mali and Guinea styles, and we will have live percussion and drumming within that piece. And so definitely that piece as a talking drum, per se, in terms of leading the dancers and leading the choreography is very evident. But yes, to your point, it's very significant in African traditional music where the drum and the hierarchy of the instruments definitely lead the choreography. And speak to the dancers, yes.
But a lot of pieces I see like that have a sort of sense to me of ritual.
In some cases, but, you know, for Africans, we create dances when there's a harvest, when the harvest has come in, or we create dances when the seasons are changing. So, you know, those rituals are not necessarily from a religious standpoint, but just in terms of celebrating life itself.
Yeah. And they're integrated more into everyday aspects, from what I understand. Not everyday, but just... transitions and events. So there's more.
Yeah, definitely with the New Age Africa, for sure.
Because like the Azonto.
Azonto is a very popular dance that came out of Ghana and Nigeria, and has just taken over the world over the last several years. You see World Cup dancers doing it during the previous World Cup and when it was in Brazil a few years ago. So that Azonto dance is a reflection of everyday life, and people are creating movements and or just movements towards things that you would do in everyday life in terms of answering a phone or cooking some food or going for a walk. They're sort of translating those everyday movements into the choreography of Azonto. So it's mind-blowing. It's fantastic.
Percy, how would you describe the use of costumes, say the color and that sort of thing?
Well, the use of costume is very bright, like vibrant, and it's creative as well. Like there's pieces of the costume where you can switch. Let's say you're wearing a costume that has a hood. There's like aspects of the costume that makes you switch and it turns into something else. And it's very it's weird. I never seen that before, to be honest. And Aurelie, she did a like very fantastic job creating those costumes.
Yeah, it's great. I think that because AC wanted to show the versatility within one piece may be 20 minutes long or 10 minutes long, and so she kind of wanted to see the transitions of how the dancers could move with the fabric as well. Yeah. And to talk about wardrobing, we were so blessed and lucky to have Sarah Golish, who is just an incredible artist from Canada. She has spent a lot of her time creating a lot of sort of conceptualized black art. I don't know how else to sort of categorize her, but she's an incredible sketch artist, and we had her do the masks. There are some African masks that we have in the play, and she sculpted and designed every one of them, so we were quite lucky to have that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. One last thing, the music. Can you elaborate a bit? Is it live, by the way?
It's not live. The one piece with Lua Cheyenne will be live percussion. Okay. But the other ones are, so Kobona Akwa Harrison is, again, an incredible artist. Plays, you go into his studio and you see about 25 different guitars and drums and flutes and xylophones and everything. And he was able to sort of, in conjunction with DJ Nana, sort of create an inspired new age contemporary sound. So you've got the traditional plus the very common African guitar sound in there from the 70s, and you've got live percussion as well as house beats and sort of hip-hop beats that are kind of combined. So you'll see it significantly in the school piece where the music is transitioning, and you've got a lot of guitar and great big sounds in there. So, you know, we worked quite closely with Kobona to create that, and we think it sounds great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Wonderful. Well, I think we're out of time.
We're out of time. Yes.
But thank you for listening to the show today. I'd like to thank Akua Mensah, who, and also Percy Anand Wumford, who are talking here about... Sorry, I'm head.
Who are talking about Akoma taking place on October 30th, 8 p.m., and November 1st at 2 p.m.
As well as the 31st, October 30th to November the 1st.
To November the 1st.
Yes.
And you have or she has a website, Mensah, what is it?
acmensah.com, so that's E-S-I-E, okay. Mensah, M-E-N-S-A-H.com, at acmensah.com, and you can buy tickets on that site.
Okay.
And we'd also like to thank choreographer Christopher House, Artistic Director of Toronto Dance Theatre, and Jarrett Siddall for coming on to talk about the production of Echo, which is taking place November 3rd to 7th at 8 p.m. at the Fleck Dance Theatre. That's part of Harbourfront Centre. And also thank Kristen Sarconi, co-artistic executive director, along with David Norsworthy, for Toes for Dance, which is taking place this coming November 13th and 15th in Toronto. They're presenting mixed program entrances and exits.
Right. And did all the tickets go for... Okay, great. So thanks to all those for phoning in for the tickets. And thanks to Ariel, who's on tech, counting down to make sure we are on air on time. You are have been listening to Evidence. You're on CIUT 89.5 FM.
I'm giving that Motown.